Hey, what's up? This is Johnny from The Drowns, and you're listening to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel. Shay's the bomb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. It is a beautiful post-storm day here on the west coast of Canada, and I'm with my bestie on the other side of, I mean, we could say on a different continent, just for shits and giggles. But with Kristen in Boston. Hello.
Hello. It's a beautiful day here. It's like an Indian summer because it's middle end of October, and it's like 75 degrees.
Are you still allowed to call it that?
Oh. Don't cancel me.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but are we?
I don't know. Indigenous summer?
Okay. I don't know.
Just nothing.
It's just a late
summer?
It's
a late summer day. It's a non-summer day.
Feel free to let us know if that wasn't
okay. Yeah. I feel bad. Yeah. I clearly had no intent of doing something
I don't think
hurtful.
You need to feel bad. I think it's just like something that I don't know. And it could be okay where you are, not where I am. That's how things work.
Right.
So who knows? Yeah, it's gorgeous here today, too, after we had that like crazy hurricane type weather yesterday and had to like batten down the hatches type thing. But it's gorgeous now.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm excited about today's episode.
Me too. Okay. So on today's episode, we have our dear friends, Babs and Maria Lopez. We've tried to record with them a few times before. This was like third time's a charm.
I feel like they were our very first ever podcast guests.
They were.
But they
and
didn't
like,
get aired.
They didn't get aired. And like the technical side of everything was horrible. It was like they were in the bathroom. They were sharing headphones. Me and you didn't really know what we were doing yet. And then we tried another time with them and like kind of life happened and we couldn't record. So this time it was me alone. I didn't even have you with me. But something sort of weird happened with the podcast because we're friends with them. And I sort of, as much as I'm their friends, I'm a little starstruck by them because I just like love them so much. So not only did I not start the interview in any sort of professional way, but I feel like I didn't promote them enough.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that interesting with them? Like, they're really intimidating, but then not.
That's exactly how
it's
I feel
so
about
weird.
Them.
Like, at first when you see them, they're so beautiful and have this confidence that I'm just like, and they're smart. And I'm like, wow, I'm so intimidated. And then a couple minutes in, you're like, wow, you're the nicest person ever.
I feel like they're sort of intimidating in the way that I want to be like them.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm not intimidated by, like, I'm fearful of them. I'm intimidated by, like, oh my gosh, like, I want to be just like them, sort of.
Right.
Does that make
Definitely.
Sense?
Definitely.
I feel like, you know, there was, like, the older teenage girl when I was, like, 11, 12 that I looked up to who was in high school, and I was, like, obsessed with her. I thought she was the coolest thing. It's sort of that kind of feeling.
Yes, I totally get that.
So, yeah, I guess we wanted to record this intro today because we wanted to give them a little bit of love. Should we catch up first? Should we chat or should we just jump right into chatting about Babs and Maria?
It's a long, you guys have a long chat. So I feel like we should just kind of jump in.
We'll get right into
it.
Okay. So, for those of you that don't know, Babs and Maria are these two amazing identical twin sisters that we got, or I specifically got connected to first, I guess, over the Face-to-Face fan club.
So many friends are made that way.
So many good friends. And over the years, I've got to know them more, spent time in California. They were at 350 Fest, right? Yeah, we have pictures. I'm a tired mom. I was trying to picture the four of us. Yes, so all of us at 350 Fest. But they have so much going on that they've been putting out there for the last however many years. And you can find them on YouTube from like years ago, their old comedy, right up until now. So they most recently have a podcast called What's Your Problema? And it started by them going live on Instagram and just doing like people write in and ask advice questions.
Yeah, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so fun. I tuned in every whatever it was, Wednesday or something.
Yeah. I would like, it always happened to be when I was, because I was pregnant, right? And I'd be in the bath and I'd have them like live streaming in the bath with me kind of thing. And I would die laughing.
Yeah. Did you ever send in a question?
Yes, a few.
Okay. I did too. I can't think of what they were.
I can't think. I think I anonymously sent them in, so I'm not going to out myself here. So they started doing this really wicked live Instagram advice series that attracted not only their friends, but more and more and more people. And as it went on, they realized, I think, that it would be a great platform for a podcast. So now they have What's Your Problema? And it's a podcast. They have about 20 episodes. And it's the same concept. People write in with questions and they answer them on their podcast, combined with a lot of their own life stories, which are amazing. Yeah,
they are funny women. Super, super funny. So if you like punk rock and advice and funny stories and funny advice, or if you need some advice, write them and ask, and it's actually really helpful, like what sorts of things they respond with.
Yeah, and they don't hold back. They're very blunt. Yeah. They will tell you what they think. And they have a long history of acting, writing, producing. They've done a lot of improv. And they also have a online web series called Babs and Maria Go to Therapy, which is self-explanatory and also hilarious.
Yeah.
But they really pride themselves on, and this is from their own words, like being fat women of color is who they are. And they are confident and they really don't give a fuck what people think of them. And it's an amazing, amazing thing to be around, to see, to witness, to watch, to be part of.
For sure. To be friends with.
To be friends with.
Yeah.
I think I got a little sloppy on the podcast and I did fangirl a little bit with them. I think near the end, I tried really hard to like emotionally express how I feel about them. And I think it may have got, I think I did. I mean, for people listening right now, Kristen does all the editing. So I don't hear the episodes until she's done editing. So,
and I haven't got to that part yet.
But I'm pretty sure at the end I was quite sloppy. And I gushed a little bit. So fingers crossed.
That's cute. What were you drinking?
Vodka. And then I also had some Prosecco.
Ooh.
So like I recorded my bedroom, right? With the door closed, the dogs, the babies, everything's outside my bedroom. So when I'm going to sit down to record, I prep everything ahead of time. So I have like my computer, my mic and all the things. And then beside my bed, I usually have like a drink and then like a backup drink. Mm-hmm. And I think with Babs and Maria, I may have had like a drink and a backup bottle.
Oh, geez.
So.
But when you live in the middle of nowhere, you got to have fun with your friends somehow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we can't say enough good things about these ladies. We adore them. They've been very supportive of Mabel Syndrome since the very beginning. And they give great advice. They have great personalities, great sense of humor. And we adore what they do. So we think everybody needs to go and check out their podcast, What's Your Problema?
I believe it's on iTunes and Spotify and all the places.
Yes, it is in all the places. So I love it. It's a great commute. Oh, and the other thing I'll say that it's not like a podcast you have to commit like an hour and a half to. It's like 20 to like 40 minutes. It's like short, sweet, hard-hitting, funny. You know, they get in there, they get out.
Yeah.
So it's a good one for a commute.
Awesome. So we should pick a song for the end of the podcast. Did they, by any chance?
I can't remember. Maybe. Maybe I asked them.
They did not, however. But I'm going to challenge you and say it can't be a face-to-face song because we play so much of them. So one thing I was thinking is maybe Sincere Engineer has a new album out.
Oh, I would like that.
Would that be a good one?
That would be good. Because we haven't played anything by Sincere Engineer for a long time, have we?
No.
So their new album is called Bless My Psyche. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that their new album?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know.
The first.
Should we random?
Yeah. I was just going to say the first track, Trust Me.
Yeah. First track, Trust Me. Okay. I love it.
Good.
I was like, I love that you were challenging me to not be face to face because I know them through face-to-face. That's one of our connections. Yeah. And I thought earlier today, I was like, I can't say a face-to-face song. Fuck.
I also like how I challenged you to come up with something. And then I'm like, this is what we're doing. I'm such a bossy bitch. So I hope everyone enjoys this episode with Maria and Babs. And be sure to check them out on their social media and subscribe to their podcast. And thanks, Jess. I'm glad you did this one solo.
Yeah, it was my first one solo. It was a good one to do. Well, my first one, like, you know, I've only done one other one solo, I guess. But anyway, yes, it was a good one to do solo, even though I missed you. And I loved getting the chance to chat with them. So yeah. Thanks, ladies.
All right. Enjoy. She's a pistol with a loaded gun, cocked and raised in the morning sun. Take your name at all the men who would try to rein her in. She's a feminist flamethrower, unrepentant whistleblower, a bulldozer to the system, and she's on the move again. Killed her by her own end. The world is dying while you're sitting on the fence. The glow of hope grows dim, but she's the ender, not a light the fire.
I spent a good majority this week, every time I was in my car, I was listening to your guys' podcast.
Oh my and, gosh, that's a lot.
It was, but it's perfect. My commute's like 40 minutes. So,
You get like two episodes in almost.
It was amazing. And I shouldn't have listened to it while I was driving, because the entire time I was like, oh, I want to talk about that. Oh, I want to talk about that. Oh, but I can't write notes. I was driving, right? So I really, really want to tell you, first of all, that listening to it makes me hungry.
Oh, yes. I love it. Us too.
Yeah, makes me hungry.
We try to eat during the whole recording. It's very hard.
Really?
I pour myself snacks, and then I'm like, wait, I'm holding a microphone to my mouth. Right. I can't do this.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to... because I just want to like talk about this one thing that made me very, very excited. So on your podcast, the one that I was listening to the other day, you guys were saying your favorite McDonald's orders.
Yes. We were saying each other's favorite McDonald's order.
Okay. So I grew up where there was no McDonald's. There's still no McDonald's where I live. The closest one's about 2.5 hours away.
That's probably a great thing. You're probably better off.
So, you're better off for it.
So when you're a kid here growing up, whenever somebody you know goes to that location, they always would bring you back McDonald's. So like if my dad would go away for work, or like a family friend, they'd always bring you back cold McDonald's. And to this day, my stepdad, when he goes, we call it Down Island, that's what it's called. You go Down Island, he always brings me back my McDonald's order.
Is it
good even if it's cold?
McDonald's is good all the fucking time. I'm sorry.
That's so disgusting. I
love McDonald's more than anything. I'm not even like ashamed to say it or hide it. So to the point where, okay, so people up here are so crazy for it. Not everybody, but people that I like. This one lady I know in town, she told me once that when she goes down, she buys like 30 cheeseburgers. She brings them back. She unwraps them and freezes them individually, then rewraps them and puts them away back in the freezer. And whenever she wants one, she can just take one out and microwave it.
That's brilliant.
That's so fucking smart.
Right?
I mean, that's what they do is just microwave it, I'm sure.
Probably. My order is 2 cheeseburgers.
Yes.
A Diet Coke. And then 6-piece chicken McNuggets with spicy mustard.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And a large fries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Babs gave me, she said my order was a quarter pounder. And though it is. I would like to say that more often now I do the two cheeseburgers. I just love how they're so tiny and they're like, you know, made in an easy bake oven or something.
I have a problem when my food falls apart. If I have food that falls apart, it's difficult for me to eat. It gives me a little bit of anxiety, and it's a bit of like my family still makes fun of me to this day about it. Those are like the perfect burger for me. And I love the I love the pickle inside. That hot pickle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give me that hot pickle.
Yeah. Just the one that sits right in the middle.
One time I was visiting my dad in Vancouver when I was a kid. I'd go there in the summers and McDonald's was like the big deal, of course. And my dad is sort of this like big, large biker man with like the biggest heart in the world. And so we ordered my cheeseburgers. I must have been like 8 and we were driving away from the drive-thru. And I took a bite of the burger and the pickle slipped out and it burned my lip because it was so hot. And he grabbed the cheeseburger out of my hand, threw it back in the bag, went back to the drive-thru and threw it back at the drive-thru window.
Oh my God. With what goal in mind?
I don't know. Did he want me to get a colder cheeseburger? I don't know. All I know is that I just didn't get the rest of my cheeseburger.
That's devastating.
Get a new one?
I can't remember if I got a new one. I was a little mortified at the whole situation. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Your dad's chucking cheeseburgers out and in windows.
At the 16-year-old, like, window guy. Right.
Oh, my God.
He probably still tells that story.
16-year-old.
I'm not going to get into it, but I worked at McDonald's for, like, I don't know, 2 days. Do you remember this, anymore?
I do. She was very depressed.
I was depressed. I had so much anxiety. I was very bad at it. I was a kid, too. I don't know how, like, mad props to people in the service industry, especially food service. I couldn't do it.
So what was your job there? Were you like up front? Were you in the back? Like
I was doing everything.
Really?
Yes.
Don't they have people in specific sections?
They do, but I think because I was still training because I only lasted, 12 hours or whatever.
Right. It's forever
trained.
They were
teaching me everything. My favorite part was asking or like giving people their ketchup because I just give them a shitload and they're like, oh, it's 2 or whatever. And it was like 1 napkin per, there were all these.
1 napkin?
Rules.
You need and like I would just 14 get like napkins.
I would get a pile of fucking napkins and like a mound of ketchup and just dump it in their bag.
Yes. That's like I had a friend that worked at Subway in high school, and I have a deep obsession with the pickles that you get at Subway. And when we were teenagers and we'd be drunk, I could just go in there and she would just sell me for $1 like a whole takeout bag full of their pickles.
Oh my God.
I feel like you have
You're
a thing with pickles.
Right now.
I do have a thing with pickles. Yes. Like when I was a kid, my neighbors would give me jars of pickles when I went trick-or-treating.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That's
the most acidic Halloween treat I've ever heard of.
And like, I remember one year my mom made pickles. Like she makes them every year, but one year she made them and she fucked up and she added extra salt, like double the salt. And so she started like throwing them away and dumping them down the sink. And before she could get them all, I like stole like 6 jars of them and I hid them under our back deck. And I would go under there with my friends and be like, look what I have. And I would eat all the extra salty pickles.
That's insane.
Yeah. I might die of a heart attack by the time I'm 40.
It's okay. You're fine now.
I've had it tested. I've had all that shit tested and it's fine. And actually my best friend, she was like, what the fuck? That came back normal? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Maybe you drink a lot of water.
I drink about 4 liters a day.
Yeah, you're flushing yourself out. You're good.
As I'm pouring, I just open a bottle of
water. That's not water.
That's not water.
Taking it back to the little cheeseburgers. Do you remember, Animal, when we were in high school, all of our friends were in bands. So we'd throw like these backyard gigs and we're all kids, So whatever money we made from, or not we, I wasn't doing a goddamn thing. Whatever money they made at these gigs, like we'd put it together and then we'd send someone. I feel like we got sent a couple of times and bought as many cheeseburgers as we could. No, it was walking distance, remember?
You had a McDonald's in walking distance?
We, like, always have.
Oh,
but it was
Lord.
The one, like, 2 blocks from Wendy's house. Remember, anymore?
Yeah, I remember. But, wow, I guess I just never remember a McDonald's situation where I had to walk inside.
Maybe we didn't go. I don't know who went, but I think Giorgio went one time.
So, like, you would go and like, feed everybody with them?
Yeah, like you'd bring them back to the part to like the gig, and everyone would just eat cheeseburgers.
Oh, that sounds like the best and drink time ever.
Disco, probably, yeah, on Boone's Farm.
Because back then they were also, I think, 29 cents.
Yeah, they which were super was just cheap.
Crazy.
That's why we'd get like 45 of them.
So whenever I get my McDonald's order of 2 cheeseburgers and 6-piece chicken McNuggets with spicy mustard, a Diet Coke, and some fries, I'd easily finish my cheeseburgers. I finish my cheeseburgers tonight every single time for like the last 25 years. I've been like, I can eat 2 more easily.
Oh my God, right?
Easily.
They're very tiny.
They're so good.
If I could eat gluten, I would still be eating those.
What? Is that the bread?
Yeah, that's the
okay.
bread.
Okay. What? Oh, you have to eat like a lettuce burger?
Yeah, but I don't know. They're good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, In-N-Out has a
great one. Yeah, exactly.
I remember.
So no complaints here.
Okay, yeah, I could do that. When I was doing keto, I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a little background information for everybody listening is that I have known you guys about, I think, about 5 or 6 years. 6 years, yeah, maybe.
Which is we've only met in person.
We've met in person twice.
Yeah, the first time was in...
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Was the first time in 2017 in Chicago?
LA
no, because we met...
Or were you out in Orange County first?
California in 2016 when I flew down for the first time.
Okay, yeah. So that was the first time. Then Chicago was the second time?
That's right.
Okay.
And Johnny had a migraine really, really, really bad.
What? Yeah. Oh, so he just had to
remember which bar.
You weren't there. Yeah. It was Shani and I and Johnny and Jess and Kristen, I think.
Yep.
Oh, was this at SBC?
It was
that place called that venue.
It was in Chicago.
No, this was in Chicago.
Chicago.
Oh. Yeah. Where was I?
You didn't come with us that night. I don't know. It was a long time ago. I remember that the major concern was that Johnny had a migraine and he wasn't going to make it.
We were like trying to give him pills. And then I was like, all right, look, just tell me where to go to have a good time. And you go do whatever you have to do with your migraine.
Yeah, pretty much. So we've been around each other twice in person, but we've known each other through this crazy online world for a long time. Excuse me. So I always wonder if my mic can pick up when I'm burping.
I didn't hear it. I actually didn't hear you.
That's really good. Cause we have a podcast episode one time where I farted up the front and it definitely was caught on the mic.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
It was like bubbly.
Yep.
That's terrifying.
Always wear underwear when you record a podcast.
Those are like bubbly and snappy.
There's definitely a big pop.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's God.
Horrifying.
Yeah, and I actually said, I think I said on that podcast episode, I was like, oh my God, Kristen, did you hear that? She was like, no, what? And I outed myself, but then like you could hear it.
No. Yeah, also like, you can feel it coming, which is terrifying, right?
Right.
You can't control it. What are you supposed to do?
You can't.
Right.
You can't.
You have to jump up to have any chance at it not happening.
Right. But that seems so undoable.
Yeah, it's not possible.
But you're right, Animal. You can...
Now I would just throw my whole desk over.
Exactly. Yeah. Just throw something to mask the sound.
Cough really, really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's even louder.
Yeah.
So... What I was going to say was that I've known you guys and I've talked to you guys in person about different things, but I kind of want to know a little bit about, like you had mentioned, just like when you guys were teenagers and stuff. Like there's not a lot of, I don't know about, I want to tell the story of like, I want to hear about kids, like how you guys started out.
We keep our illegal teenage years a secret.
Oh, come on. I bet they're so good.
I'm just kidding.
So I seem to recall like a little bit one time of you giving me a bit of history about your mom being pregnant with you guys and like how you came to the United States and all of that kind of thing. So I really want to hear that story. Is that a story you guys could tell on podcasts?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I feel like we entered this world in a very dramatic fashion, and nothing has changed since.
Well, okay. See, that's the thing. Like, because you guys are these like two amazing, funny, strong, incredible women, and I think that it'd be really interesting for people to hear like where that came from, like from the beginning.
Yeah. And then I'll take it away.
It came from 2 8-month-old fetuses. Is that still the correct term for an unborn child? A fetus?
Yes.
Feti? So, is it feti if it's still?
Feti plural. So,
2 feti crossing the Mexico border into the States. Our mother was a passenger in a pickup truck with giant sunglasses and a sun hat. And she's very fair skinned. So they were just like, oh, let this white lady through. So here we came.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Back then it was much easier. Now it's like you need, you know,
right,
a passport, your ID, your birth certificate, and probably to like burn your, you know, fingertips.
You need to be
something.
A lot more than just fair skin.
A fucking strand of hair and some blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, so she came across at 8 months pregnant across the border.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then they were like, okay, yay, the American dream, we're here. And they were poor as fuck. Like, we were born into poverty. But.
And so was your father was your father there too?
He was, I believe, here already. And so, and we had a brother, or we have a brother who was almost 3 at the time. And.
Terrible.
So they lived. He's passed on.
Very much kidding. Still here.
Okay, great.
So they all lived in like a tiny studio apartment and had nothing. And then when my mom, as far as I recall the story, I talked to my mom about it just a couple months ago, actually. When she came home from the hospital with us now, the apartment was fully furnished. We had a crib. My brother had a bed. Our brother had a bed. They had everything, like boxes and boxes and boxes and endless boxes of clothes from people at the church that had just heard like, oh, there's this family. The woman's having twins. They don't have anything. They just got here like from Mexico. They need help. So we were just flooded from birth with like so many gifts and like everything we needed. Food, like everything. So that's,
I feel like people
really,
should still
really
be doing
beautiful.
That for you, but you know, just saying.
Thank you so much. I agree. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, yeah,
wow.
There was such a huge sense of community with whatever church it was that they were a part of at the time.
But you have to cut back when she got to the hospital and you were popping out and they shoved you back in and threw her on a wheelchair. And we're like, close your legs.
I've birthed
because we were coming out.
And if somebody ever said that to me, I would get a throat punch so damn fast. I would be like, get your catcher's mitt, bitch.
Yeah. So her water had broken and she wasn't sure. So at the hospital, she was just like, there's, you know, I'm all wet. And they're like, oh my God. So they grab a wheelchair and my head was already coming out. So they literally pushed me back in, like closed her legs, got her in a room. I came out
Holy
in one
fuck.
Push and then Babs came out 5 minutes
wow.
later. Yeah. She says we were her easiest.
Holy
birth.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's
Which
amazing.
Is insane because look at us. I mean,
yeah, we were
how was anything
babies.
Easy about this situation?
Yeah.
Do you guys know how much you were when you were born? How much did you weigh?
Of course we know.
I was 6.7 pounds.
Yeah.
And Maria was 7.6 pounds.
That's a lot for twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fully grown.
And our mom
Healthy.
Is like 5'2", maybe. So poor little
wow.
kid was just waddling around. And she went full term. We weren't early.
That's amazing. Good for her. She's amazing.
Yeah.
So just when
she
you said like
great.
When you said the thing about like she didn't know if her water had broken.
Yeah.
So when my son was born last year, like because my water didn't break with my first kid. They did it for me. But with
with, I've always thought to myself, like, women are so dumb. Like, of course you know when your water breaks. Like, who are these women that they're like, did I pee? Like, is that my water? I always, for like literally a decade, have been like, these women are stupid. And then when I was pregnant last year and had my son, my water broke. And I was like, did I just piss myself? And I was like, oh, I'm a horrible person. Wow. Because you really don't know. You really don't know.
Yeah.
And I think there's a part of your brain that goes like, I'm not having a baby. I'm not having a baby. It's totally fine. There's like a little bit of a mind fuck there.
Everything's fine. Yeah.
So you guys were born healthy, robust, wonderful little babies. And
yes.
Which is amazing. And then how was growing up for you guys? What was that like for you guys? Like, you were like, so your parents were first generation American then. Is that what the right term is? Is that an idiot way to say it? I don't know.
I believe that makes us first generation.
Mm-hmm.
You're first generation. They were immigrants is what it's considered, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Correct. We had, you know, I think that Maria can speak to her memories. I don't have that many. I don't have that many childhood memories. Some are traumatic. Some I think I've blocked out. Then there's really happy ones where I remember eating a bowl of cereal with my brother and my sister. And I remember our dad coming home from work and us like hiding from him. We'd always play hide and seek from him when he got home. And I remember being at church a lot. We grew up Catholic. So we went through like our whole, we were baptized. We did our first communion. And then shortly after that, I think that's when like our parents, you know, they hit a wall and separated and everything just, we all kind of wandered off in our own direction sort of, which is, I think, what led us to punk rock. And it was actually our older brother who was like a huge Face to Face fan. And he's like, hey, check out this band.
Really?
So, yeah. So that's literally how it happened. And, you know, it was Face to Face and all the classics like Rancid and Pennywise and the Ramones and the Clash and the Backstreet Boys, because obviously. So it was.
Yeah.
I'm very upset that they have postponed their tour over and over, because we're supposed to go see them. I think it's June or July of 2022 now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love that you just said that, because I went to see New Kids on the Block about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I shit you not, it's one of the best fucking concerts I've ever been to. Okay. I was up in like kind of the faraway stands. It was like 98 degrees, Boys to Men, and New Kids on the Block.
Oh my gosh. I saw Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Okay. 98 degrees was like horrific. Boys
to
Men.
Of course
they were. Boys to Men. Like, I was like, where is a 15-year-old boy to slow dance with right now?
Exactly. Oh my
God. New Kids on the Block was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And I swear, I was like, I said to my friend I went with, one of my good friends, I said, the next time they come here, I will pay $500 to be in the front fucking row, because it was incredible. And I would probably do the same for Backstreet Boys. So, yeah.
Did they have a residency or a tour together, Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block?
Oh, I don't know. That's like a teenage.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. It was not so long. I mean, I'm sure it was probably at this point. It was probably right before you saw them, Jess, or right after.
Maybe. They were like the sexiest fucking human beings I've ever seen on this planet. I'm not kidding you.
Really? Like,
so did you guys pay attention? Did you guys like New Kids on the Block?
I think we were just a little bit too young.
Are you a bit younger than me, right? How old are you?
We'll be 36 in October.
Okay.
How old are you?
I'll be 40 next year.
Okay, yeah. So we just kind of like, missed that train a little bit.
I barely got the New Kids vibe. It was like my babysitter listened to them, and then I kind of fell in love with them. But okay. But same obsession. If you had to pick a favorite Backstreet Boy, who would it be?
Brian Littrell.
No hesitation.
That's amazing. My mom.
So how you even say his last name? Who knows? Who cares?
My mom really liked the tall, dark-haired one.
Kevin? I get it. He has a very strong jaw.
He has a strong jaw to this day.
Do you guys remember the show Fear Factor?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so I've been rewatching every single season on Amazon Prime. And the celebrity edition had Kevin on it.
No way. What
did he do? Did he have to eat roaches?
He didn't do very well.
Why?
Well, he grew up in a boy band. I imagine he's a little bit privileged and doesn't want to lay in a coffin with a snake.
It was like him, Donny Osmond, Kelly Preston. It was a very David Hasselhoff.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
It was very 2002.
David Hasselhoff is like a million years old.
He is. Yeah.
He is such a big weirdo.
I feel like Donny Osmond won that episode. Web. So he did. I feel like Donny Osmond won. David Hasselhoff just talks shit nonstop. Kelly Preston did pretty good. I think Kelly Preston was in the final too.
Oh wow.
So you guys in like when you hit high school, a couple years younger than me, and got into the punk rock scene. I'm always fascinated when I talk to, you know, like Danielle or you guys or anybody we interview. We interviewed Tara from the ska band Half Past Two a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she went to the same high school that like Gwen Stefani went to and like all mm-hmm. these different amazing ska musicians. And I always find it so amazing because I grew up in an area where I got to see a concert maybe every 2 years.
Yeah.
And like I had to travel 8 hours and it's because I'm so remote, right? So like hearing the stories of how you guys grew up in the punk scene at such a young age is like mind boggling to me. So like you guys hit high school and you were fully in it.
We were so lucky that we were able to like hop on the train and like get to Hollywood, get to the House of Blues, get to the Roxy, the Whiskey, the Troubadour, whatever, or somebody was dropping us off, you know, and then we'd have to wait for our ride home till 3 a.m. But we could always get to any show. So starting like 14 years old, that's what we did, like nonstop. Wow.
Yeah. And even when there wasn't a show at like the clubs out here in Hollywood, I mean, we were around the East LA and South LA punk scene a lot. So we were going to backyard shows and like Watts and Southgate and Downey and in East LA. And it was a whole different scene than like the Orange County ska scene.
Okay.
This was like East LA fucking hood ass ska.
Wow.
This was like, Viernes 13, Left Alone, all of those bands who now, like you would say, you know, they built a name for themselves, but they're even from there, it trickles down so much. And that's the type of stuff that we got to see every weekend.
Right.
So sure, we're going to show at the Roxy or the Whiskey like every couple weeks or whatever, but every weekend there was something. And we were, you know, we were taking part in like having our own gigs in our friend's parents' house backyard with the bathtub full of Smirnoff ice.
So do you guys remember the first show that you went to that you were like, holy fuck, like this is something, like holy fuck, what is this? Or like, you know, like, because I have that moment, like what is that show that you saw that really just made you go like, oh my god, here we go?
I mean, I remember seeing Backstreet Boys when we were 12 and I was like chasing the tour bus, you know, and I was like, is this what my life will be like? I'm down.
But you know what? It's live music. It's live music. And when you see, live music, it blows you away. I think the first, other than like my music, the first concert my parents took me to was like this East Coast Canadian fucking 6-piece family band where they played like, you know, a dozen instruments and sang and stuff. It was totally their music, but they surprised me and took me to the show. And I remember starting to cry. I was like 10 years old. Yeah, I started crying. Cause I was just like, cause the live music effect.
So overwhelming.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was my first live music experience, not my music, but so I get the Backstreet Boys thing. Cause you're like,
yeah,
holy fuck.
It like runs through your entire body. And then you're like surrounded by thousands of people and there's so much energy in the room. Like, I'm sure I cried too and screamed and
exactly. You know, 'cause you all love the same thing. Yeah. You're all there for the same reason.
Huge surge of energy.
But I will say that I'm pretty sure if it wasn't our first show, one of our very first shows was face-to-face.
Really?
Yeah, so, I think it was at the Glass House in Pomona.
What year? I'm pretty sure that, And if not, it was one of the old House of Blues shows when they still had the House of Blues in Hollywood.
So, like, what year do you think that was?
I think it was 2000.
I remember
a ticket stub something.
From Ticketmaster. Jesus Christ, 21 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That makes sense.
So I'll tell you my first punk rock concert experience. I was 82, 92.
6, 7, 8, 9. Oh my God, two hands.
I know, two hands. So I think I was in grade 9 or 10. And so where I live to get to Vancouver is about a 10-hour trip, including a 2-hour ferry ride. Okay.
Yeah.
It was Warp Tour 97. And
How fun.
My boyfriend and my two best friends who were guys, they bought me tickets and I had to convince my mom to let me go.
Wow. So
she did. And it's insane looking back because I look at my daughter.
Totally.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. How old is Marlo now?
Marlo's 11.
Oh my God.
So that's just a few years from now, right? But I have really amazing parents and I've always had like this major trust with them. Like we've always been very close with each other. And I was honestly like, I was a pretty good teenager. I did stupid shit, but I was always pretty honest about it.
Yeah.
But so we were going to Warped Tour 97 and my friend picked me up in his Monte Carlo, like gangster car.
God.
Hell yes.
And I got into the back seat with my boyfriend and there was a bong and there was a gas mask attached to it and they strapped it on my face before we got off my street.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I mean, that's pretty much the worst thing that happened. It's like not a, you know, but I got to see Blink. I got to see Real Big Fish, Face to Face, The Descendants, Mill and Colin. Like it was
the most pretty stacked lineup.
It was pretty stacked. And I literally walked into the venue and we looked at sort of the list of like when bands play and Real Big Fish was one of the first bands. And I walked over to the stage and there was nobody around and I kind of leaned against the guardrail, not even knowing what the fuck that meant. Yeah. And all of a sudden, all these people came out and they all had horns and they were singing. And I was just like,
oh my gosh,
what the fuck? And then there was like, I don't know, 8,000 people behind me. And I was a little uncomfortable, but you know, it's just one of those. That was my moment where I was like, what the fuck? What this is something.
Amazing. Yeah. And then once you I was just going to say, once you get that high, like you just keep chasing it. And luckily it happens every single time. I mean, as long as it's good music, you know, if it's like some band that you're not really into, then it's not going to happen for you. But I still get that with seeing the guys play, like first strum of the guitar. And I'm like, fuck, I'm in, like I'm sold.
Well, that's like right now, like there's just a few bands starting to announce Canadian dates, right? With the border being open. There's so I think Anti-Flag has a date and there's a very, very Propagandy has a date, but they're Canadian. There's a few very small few little things, but I'm not gonna travel 9 hours and 3 days to go see a band other than face to face, to be honest. So I'm waiting for that tour.
Yeah, I'm sure they are too.
Yeah. I know. Listened to their new songs?
What was that?
Have you listened to their new songs and that the fact that the last song that they released this week was called The Farewell Song?
Yes.
Assholes. That's what I want to say. Assholes. No.
Look. I I have personally, nobody needs to tell me anything. Nobody needs to tell anyone anything, but I haven't heard anything about them stopping.
No. And so, I feel like they faked us out once before.
Everyone can think what they want and, you know, whatever. This is all really fun for me, seeing people's reaction. But, like, and maybe they are. They don't need to tell me anything. I don't need to be in any sort of loop. But right. I haven't heard anything, so I'm just enjoying the drama.
Okay.
It keeps people interested.
See, and, like, the farewell tour that they did, whatever year that was I, like, literally clutched like a set list and a drumstick after an all ages show at like 7:30 p.m. on a city bus in broad daylight, bawling my eyes out. Like, that's not happening again. It's not happening again. So, well, I think that's super cool. I didn't know that Face to Face was one of your first sort of big shows.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, they definitely were. What were you gonna say, Anima, that I kept talking about?
I kept thinking of when Jess was talking about they just put the mask on you like before you even left the street.
My poor mother.
I just thought of like impactful moments or whatever, like going to shows. And I remembered when we specifically wanted to see Lit. And so we went to the Santa Anita racetrack.
Yep,
and I remember like
that sounds like that's very hot and humid.
Oh my god,
yes,
it was so hot. And I remember being front row by the barricade, and I got a glass bottle to the eyelid. What? I was wearing glasses, thank god.
Oh my god, something
that happened to you.
I think it came from the singer, I don't know, but I had like a cut on my eyelid, and I was like, my eyelid was like sticking together because of the dry blood.
No.
So every time I like blinked, it would pull apart.
Yes, that's hilarious.
It was terrible.
And do you remember our friend Lucy fainted at that because it was so hot? Did I faint?
Yes.
I feel like I fainted, but this could
really
be one of those stories.
I thought you like guys were pretending to faint.
Who the fuck, when you're a fat ass teenager, is going to pretend to faint?
I think teenage girls might
really
faint that often.
Exactly. I wouldn't pretend faint.
So can I, on that, like talking about how hot it was, and everybody knows the Face to Face fan I am, whatever. Like, we joke that the Mabel Syndrome podcast is also called the Face to Face podcast. But so when I was in California, the first time I met you, there were three Face to Face shows. It was South Bay Customs, this like weird like hoedown
like
biker
motorcycle
thing, but yeah, there was like one thing out in the, no, like South Bay Customs was one, but then there was a show out in the desert somewhere, and then the third night was House of Blues. And
the desert, which one was that?
Oh, I gotta look it up. I'll find it all. Like, fact check that. Fact? Did I just say fact?
Somebody
fact check.
Let's fact check it.
I literally, like, after the first show on the second night when it was the desert show, I was just like, I will literally do anything to see these guys, but I will die if we go. I will die if we go. And I remember messaging the guys, and I think Danny was like, don't come. Don't come. My shoes are sticking to the stage. Like, do not come.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Thank God I didn't.
Nope.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, stuff like that is torture.
Outdoor shows are really, really hard, especially in the desert. I just, the last time I saw them was maybe 2 months ago now or so in Arizona. And I was dying for live music again, you know, like we all have been. So I'm like, yay, a little weekend trip to Arizona.
Yeah.
And honestly, it wasn't, we're mostly in the hotel or inside somewhere and then at the show.
Yeah.
But we weren't in the crowd.
Yeah.
If I were in the crowd, I don't know how some of those people got there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, thank you.
And I'm like, how are you still standing?
No.
And drinking and like, I don't know, like I'm seeing all these white people and I'm like, aren't you sunburned and about to collapse? It's like, you're very pale. How are you doing this? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, me.
You. Because I'm over there on stage in the shade, like, thank goodness, by the time they came on at the perfect time, sun was setting, even the first couple of rows of people had shade on them. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't want to say nice because it was never nice. It was still just fucking hot, but it was bearable. And I'm telling you, as soon as that first song started, like I just forgot everything and all was well in the world. But those, dude, those fucking shows in the middle of nowhere or, you know, Arizona.
That's a lot.
Torture.
Yeah. Never mind
at
being
14, I could definitely put myself through that. But at being a 35-year-old large woman or of any size that you want to be, there is no fucking way.
Okay. So will you guys go up again? Like, do you guys at a face-to-face show? I know that, like, yes, we're fortunate enough to like have a little more access for the like for those types of shows, but what bands will you be up against the guardrail for?
Oof.
Any of
if
them?
It's indoors. If it's indoors.
Right.
Okay. Outdoors, indoors, nobody. Okay.
So indoors, air conditioned.
Who will you get
against
for?
Me?
Okay.
against me, and that might be it.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I say that, and then what was the, there's been a couple of shows we went to anymore in the last handful of years, and I'm like, yeah, you know, let's all just hang back. Sure enough, the band starts playing and we just
and
like split and just start like me and you met Jesus. We'll just like start making our way up and like then we're on opposite sides of the stage, sweating, trying to hold our purse and keep our glasses on our face and keep our stupid drink that we're drinking. And you just fall right back into it.
You do. There's certain
like,
bands
that
do that.
I can try to be a cool guy and, you know,
the adjustment
I'm going to be off
made.
To the side with my martini and it doesn't happen.
The only adjustment we've made is we've gone from center stage to either stage right or left. But
okay, so that was my next question. That was my next question. So what is your preferred location when you're against the stage? For okay, so it varies for bands for me. Depends on the band.
Varies for bands and it depends on the venue.
Okay, so if you're seeing face-to-face, where do you want to be in the crowd against the guardrail? Center, left, right. Where do you want to be?
I mean,
on
it doesn't
the stage,
even matter.
I refuse to be anywhere else.
Right.
Oh, man. We've come
a
long way.
I mean, that's
way.
Not true, though. That's not
We've
true, though.
We've come a long way
to
cheeseburgers
love...
in the backyard.
Yeah.
Barely. That's not true, though, because I do love being in the crowd for them just because it's so high energy.
Yeah.
And then if that's the case, I'll usually – I will take turns between being on Scott's side and Dennis' side because they're just so insanely fun. Like they're both so filled with energy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in front of Trevor because the whole world is there and I can't breathe.
Yeah.
So right or left is amazing for me.
Yeah. I would say the same, but again, if it's for them, I usually we'll try to take in one or two songs from the crowd because their set is so electric, but I don't even care where I land if that's the case, if it's just a song or two.
I've always been stage left. I've always been left. I'm always in front of Scott. Always. And actually the first time that I ever was on stage for a show was at in California
at the observatory. When we were there.
Yes. Yeah. That was the first time I ever got to be on stage watching. And it's just a totally different.
I remember how nervous you were.
I know.
We were like, you have all access. Just like get back there.
Just go. I was.
Why are you hanging out with us?
I mean, that trip, that whole trip, like, do you know that trip, I literally got the morning I was supposed to catch my flight out of Vancouver. I was about an hour away from the airport. I pulled over on the side of the highway. And I called Kristen and I called Johnny and I called my parents and I bawled my fucking eyes out because I was like, I can't do it. I can't fly alone. I can't go there alone. Yeah. And my mom was like, turn around, go back home. And Johnny was like, you can do it. And Kristen was like, you can do it. And I literally almost didn't make it there. So I went from like crying on the side of a highway, having a panic attack to being like, I'm on stage at a face-to-face concert in California.
and having a panic attack there instead.
Right? It was crazy.
Which is so much better.
But you know what? The side of the road. That trip changed my life. Like, it opened up so much possibility and like strength and like so many cool things for me. And like meeting everybody in person was just pretty much the best thing ever. But
totally. Yeah. Did you think about that moment of you being off on the side of the road crying while you were on stage?
While I was on stage, and I remember standing next to John, and like a couple specific songs came on that he and I both, you know, really love. And we looked at each other and we were like, what the fuck is really happening right now? And I remember thinking to myself, like, I almost went back home. Like, totally. What the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty crazy experience for a girl that comes from a town of 3,000 people to be.
Oh my gosh.
Also, a lot of women wear skirts to shows in California. That is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually do.
Yeah. That doesn't happen here. I took that away from the show. But it's hot there.
That was your big takeaway.
It was a big takeaway because it's fucking cold here all the time. Like you have to wear a parka to a fucking punk rock show here.
Yeah, that's not hot. Check in.
Oh my god.
Okay, so
I was at a show in Chicago in the middle of winter in a skirt. Like, that's just my attire.
That's what Kristen's like. Kristen wears a black dress to every single punk show. Black dress and Converse is her go-to.
Yeah.
I'm that a black, makes sense to me.
See, and I'm like jeans, Converse, black tank top. That's my go-to. Right now, I would wear a burqa because I need to be covered up at all times because of the pandemic. But okay, so I feel like we could talk for like 7 hours tonight. But I really want to talk about you guys and what you're doing right now, which is your podcast. Which I really like how on one of the episodes I listened to this week. You called it "What's your problema?" But then you said, for those of you that don't speak Spanish, it's "What's your problem?" with an A on the end. And
thank you, Casey.
I really appreciated that. I was dying laughing. So I feel like a podcast for you guys is like the most amazing avenue for you to take, because my first experience with your comedy was like White People Weddings, White People Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
Which I personally, I think it's like some of the best fucking comedy out there because you fucking nail every single portion of it right down to like Bon Jovi at the wedding. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I think you guys doing a podcast is one of the best things ever. And I could listen to you guys talk forever. So like, where did that come from? Why'd you want to do it? Do a lot of people ask you for advice in real life? Is that what started it? Like,
I don't think so. I think we've always just been very opinionated.
I think take it upon ourselves to be like, you should stop that and do this. Right. It's amazing. Not solicited.
But okay. I will say that within our close circle of friends, I think we certainly are the confidants and, you know,
yep.
People who our close friends know that they can trust and who are going to listen. And you can even tell me, like, I don't want you to say anything. Like, I just need like a listening ear. I just need a shoulder to lean on. And like, I can do that. I'm going to have opinions. But look, if you don't want to hear them, that's fine. Just tell me ahead of time. But I think that this, do you remember when we started going live on Instagram during the pandemic?
Yeah, I was like super pregnant and I'd sit in the bath. I was super pregnant and I had a bath every single night for like an hour and a half, and I would sit and I would watch you guys go live on Instagram. Oh my God.
That sounds dangerous.
For who? Like for the baby.
For you, electricity and water is what I'm thinking.
It's having a bath when you have children, when you're pregnant, it's the only time you can get away and lock the door and be like, fuck everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would go in the bath and I'd be like, Babs and Marie are going live. So I'm having a bath and I'd close the door and I'd get in the bath and I'd watch you guys. So So that's when you guys kind of came up with it?
Yeah, so we were doing that every Thursday night at 7, sometimes 7:30, because we would fuck up the flyer. And they were so much fun. And we really loved just like engaging with everybody. And like, once it was over, we were seriously like on a high, like our bodies were like buzzing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like the natural progression was to do a podcast, even though we weren't crazy about like the visual going away, you know, because we're so like, I don't know, we're just
stunning,
like,
beautiful, gorgeous. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And ridiculous. So,
yes.
So that was a little bit like, oh man, I love like getting dressed up and looking crazy for our Instagram lives. But with the podcast, it's, I don't know, it's so much fun.
It is.
I feel like it's a little bit more succinct. And yeah,
I love it. So that just reminded me. So when Kristen and I started Mabel Syndrome, we originally started doing the podcast on YouTube. So if you go onto YouTube and you look us up, I think our first like 6 episodes are on YouTube, and it's horrific. It's awful to watch.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's awful. And for some reason we thought people wanted to see us. But they truly don't. They truly don't. They don't want to see us. Like, that's a lot of effort to watch and listen. So we stopped doing that, thank God. Though I was very skinny and had excellent hair and makeup skills at the time. So I do appreciate looking back and being like, damn. But yeah, we thought that was a good idea. So losing the visual isn't so bad because people can do the audio everywhere they go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's very true.
So it's way more adaptable that way in terms of who can listen to you.
Right.
And getting ready, like throwing together an outfit, makeup, hair, it's a lot of work.
I look prettier right now than I have in 2 years. I swear to fucking God. And I only did it for you guys.
Your hair looks great too.